I'm DeMelo Roberts, stage and studio on Arts Watch. It's the 10th anniversary of the Vanport Mosaic Festival, which has inspired memory activism for Portland's history. The Vanport Mosaic Festival offerings have included outdoor walking experiences, art exhibits, theater productions, concerts, panels, videos, and oral histories. It's a truly multidisciplinary arts organization. And this year's theme is a decade of memory activism. That's apropos. And it runs May 16th through June 1st at Alberta Hall and other locations in Portland, which we'll talk about. Joining me right now are co-directors Laura Loforti and Damaris Webb to give an overview of Vanport Mosaic and the festival. It's so good to talk with you both. It's been a few years since you've been on stage and studio, so I welcome you both back.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Hi, Dime. Just recently in my photo memories, it popped up that image of us at KBOO like 10 years ago. Yeah.
So many years ago. I know. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. You know, and it feels like it's not that long because I hear from both of you quite often. And I also see other stuff that you're both doing. So it does like feel like coming home when they talk to you both, though. Yay. So it's good to talk with you. So, you know, I don't want to bring anything like negative right off the bat here, but there's been a spate of rescinding of funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. And I was wondering if Vanport Mosaic was affected at all by that.
Well, we are not. I mean, not directly. We at the moment, we don't have any grant active. And so we are not directly impacted. We are heartbroken witnessing what's happening to so many of our partners and friends. We have a National Archives grant, federal grant that was frozen, and I wouldn't be surprised if it vanishes. Yes, and that's for a huge project. And again, these are all reimbursable grants that, you know, we upfront and we hope to see.
I'm sorry to hear about that. I really am. It really is unprecedented because, you know, it's so hard to get these grants in the first place, especially national ones. And to have this happen at this time is really tough. But I think also, you know, this could call attention to the public that they need to do more. You know, they do need to do more. And let's hope that that actually is a call to action. And in some cases, people have been able to fundraise to, you know, to get their money back, like Portland Playhouse was able to do that. But yeah, it's a tough time. And I'm sorry to hear about the archiving. I hope that it's good news. You know, I hope that it isn't totally, you know, bad. But thank you for sharing that with us. I think people should know. So that's why I asked.
Yeah, we appreciate that. It's we are a beautiful, tight community. And so whatever happens to one of us, it does impact everyone.
It really does. Yeah, it is a tight-knit community. And, you know, the Vanport Mosaic Festival has always been about community. And I remember 10 years ago, when it was sort of a humble beginning, you still were doing major things with calling attention to the Vanport flood and memory activism and oral history gathering. But I think it's really grown so much to be such a huge presence with impact, you know, remembering Portland's history and just where it's gone in so many different disciplines. Did you ever think you'd arrive at this point, at its 10th anniversary? Whoever thinks that that's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't even think we were going to move beyond the first festival, right,
yeah,
Amaris?
Yeah.
Yes, it was just supposed to be one festival to kind of, you know, amplify all these the efforts that had been being offered in the community and have things be in conversation together. And then, whew, you know, an honoring of those who had lived there, the private reunion dinner. And then here we are. So many stories that are still not having a chance. So yeah,
we started with a weekend festival, and then during COVID, morphed into a month-long virtual festival. You might remember, Dime.
I do remember that.
And then now we are in a very manageable comparison, a two-week festival.
And then, of course, now we also do year-round programming too. So, you know, that there wasn't the vision to begin with, but here we are, and so grateful to all the partners and artists and historians and educators and other arts organizations and cultural organizations that we get to make things with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because a big part of Vanport Mosaic Festival is collaboration with a lot of partners and a lot of artists who have something to contribute. And I have to think, though, that something about your partnership, both of you as co-directors, made it into this. You both had vision, but you also had projects that you both wanted to do, and you both respected those things. And I don't think that happens a lot to have that kind of partnership for such a long time. What do you think is the secret?
Well, Damaris is beautiful and lovely. And so that's that. It's very easy.
I have to think you're probably beautiful and lovely too, Laura.
She is beautiful and lovely. And so yes, dedicated. I mean, also just that the curiosity that still is bubbling. I mean, it's very impressive that Laura is, you know, still has this curiosity and dedication to, once a thing is going, just, you know, can we find a different way? Let's move in the middle of it. I mean, I'm super grateful that with this nimbleness, you know, still can exist while trying to actually have a foundation that can hold more for a longer term.
Yeah. And I think, well, thank you, Damaris. I think what really helped us get into this point is really our shared vision that we do it together, right? Like we were saying, talking about partnerships. We always talked about being a collective. Of course, we are a nonprofit and someone needs to do the things, right, that to keep it going. But in terms of how we make decisions, how collaborations, how projects manifest, is truly a collective, organic, exciting, messy process. And I think that really keeps it always changing. And you know, I'm a story midwife, so I'm not actually making anything. I'm here to catch the all the babies.
Well, I know you call yourself a story midwife, but I also think that you have great organizational skills, and you have a way of eliciting talented people together to create this. And the whole act of doing a festival is an act of creation for you as well.
Okay, then.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know what I always say is that I don't consider myself the festival curator, you know, these labels, because I do feel like that the process of creating the festival, first of all, is collective, but it is also closer to community organizing than actually, you know, an artistic festival. And so in that sense,
yes,
I'm comfortable in that space where you have a conversation and it reminds you another conversation that you had with someone, or someone is doing that project, and suddenly all these pieces kind of start interacting with each other and it becomes a larger story. And that's why the festival truly, until the very end, I don't know what's going to be, because now things are coming together and they're making sense together, and people come forward and say, I saw you're doing that. Can I add this poem? Can I do this activation? We just had someone that I met as I was tabling, Mia Braveman. Wait, let me tell them. She's working on a collective altar. And so we always have an altar at the festival. And so I'm just so excited that she's going to join us. And this just literally happened yesterday.
I believe that. And what you're also describing to me is, as a documentarian, how you have to edit all these different aspects together to tell one story, you know? So all those moving parts are important, and it takes somebody to put them together. So I'm just giving you kudos for that, Laura. This year, there are a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of free events, you know, community events, some ticketed art performances, including Damaris, your solo show Precipice. It kicks off the festival, which is on May 16th and runs through June 1st at Coho Theater. And I'm very curious about this solo piece. I've seen a prior solo piece, you know, that was more about mixed race, you know, in your personal story. What is Precipice?
Well, Precipice is being presented by Third Rail in their season this year, and it is also part of the Vanport Mosaic Festival. And it is a solo work that was actually inspired by two festivals ago. I was attending during the Vanport Mosaic Festival a conversation between Bruce Poinsett and Intizar Abioto about another project that they had done a few years ago called The State of Black Oregon. And amongst the many amazing things that happened in that project, they were sharing the experience of two Black people, Portlanders or metropolitan area, going out into Eastern Oregon, other parts of Oregon besides the Portland metro area, and meeting with and interviewing Black people who are residents there. And that, for me, as a Black Portlander, we had a coffee table book in our house growing up, a photo essay book called Oregon 2. And it had pictures of these faraway places like the Painted Hills, etc., that captured my imagination. But I knew that as a Black person or a mixed race family, we stay on I-5. And even then, there are only particular places that we're going to stop for gas or eat or hang out at. And so the idea that I could go into these other places and see the land or maybe even find home there, just tears, right? I mean, I was like, this is, could I do that? So I figured if I made a project, I could go do that. And so Precipice has been the last couple years of going out to places like the Painted Hills or other parts of Oregon. I've now visited all but three of our counties and spending time on the land, like camping. Then also spending time in my three-generation Black home in Irvington and considering what being at home and legacy means for me at this time in Oregon. And I've had the great good fortune to receive a IFCC residency through their residency program the year prior. And so this first went into development with my collaborators, Chris Gonzalez as a writer and Olivia Matthews as my director. And we had a first version, which we did present in last year's festival, and now 40 new minutes. So now it's an hour 15 of material, three acts with just me.
And in these three acts, which you mentioned Chris Gonzalez helping with the writing of it, or it says written by, but it's conceived by you and performed by you. What are some of the themes? What do you address here? What is Precipice like to view?
Well, it is a magical realist piece.
Okay.
It is definitely more than semi-autobiographical. The character's name is Damaris, but, you know, there's a little bit of a meta. And it's about belonging. It's about finding home, and it's about the value of listening to the land.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I imagine there's a lot of movement and maybe some slides or something or some imagery that you're working with.
Lots of movement. There's projection, there's text, there's dealing with the weight of history, and then there's also funny parts.
All right. Yeah, I'm old school. I always say slides when I mean projections. I still think about that carousel. I love the sound of that carousel slide, you know, projector.
Yeah. My dad used to show slides at family vacations with that.
It was magical. Thank you for sharing that. And we're looking forward to seeing it. And I was wondering from Laura, the opening weekend, you have some free events just right off the bat too. I don't know if you want to run down some of the schedule, at least for the opening weekend.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there is an event that no one can join. And so let me talk about that.
Oh, really now? No. All right.
This is the most special. This is the heart of the festival. And it is the annual reunion for the Vanport former residents and the flood survivors and now the descendant. And so that is a very special gathering where we remember together, we remember those we lost, and we just celebrate the resilience of this community. And so it's just such a wonderful way to start the festival and really ground us in the stories and the memory keepers, right? And that day we continue the oral history project that started in 2014 and it's ongoing. And so that's a special moment that just a few of us who are not Vanport survivors get to experience. But we also have May 19 will mark the 100th anniversary of the Malcolm X birthday. And so we start with May 18th with a very popular Black Panther walking tour.
By Mr. Kent Ford still?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then on May 19, that again was decided yesterday because he stopped by, on the day of the anniversary, we will gather at Alberta House from 6 to 8, I think. That's free. And we don't even know exactly what we'll do, but we want to be together and really honor the legacy and just really get some inspiration for our times. So that it's free and look online because I will update on exactly what's going to happen as we decide. And another special moment of the weekend is this very casual but very special celebration of our 10th anniversary. So we celebrate a decade of memory activism. And we gather on the 18th from 1 to 3. Actually, and you can come at any point because it's open house. And we will just share memories. We'll probably have some tea, and the exhibits will be on display. So that's an opportunity to come in, say hi, get the program. By then, I promise you, I will have it printed and accurate. So that's kind of the weekend. Something else might happen, but for now, this is it.
Well, yeah, and everybody can get information at vanportmosaic.org. I just also wanted to point out, too, there's a bus tour, too. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh, I'm also very grateful to our friends and partners at the Fair Housing Council of Oregon because they've been offering this incredible experience, which is a four-hour bus tour that explores the history of discrimination throughout Portland. And it's a very popular tour that most of the time is actually a private tour. And we've been able in the past here and there to offer it in collaboration with Fair Housing Council. And I'm very grateful that this year we can bring it back. And that's going to be Tuesday, May 20. And it starts and ends at Alberta House. And it will take us, among many other places, to Vanport and to the Expo Center, which are always site of activation for us.
Yeah, and you said it was a four-hour tour, but I imagine you get off the bus, or do you stay on the bus the entire time?
Well, you know, on the bus, there are people who experience the stories that we explore. So it really is a very immersive experience.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We do stop. We have stops and we have memory keepers and docents sharing histories and personal memories.
Yes. It says something about Portland's history that you need 4 hours to talk about the racism. You know, it really does say something. It says a lot, actually. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's with a particular focus of housing discrimination. So it's not, they're not even covering everything, but yeah.
Right, right.
I'm just saying that, you know, I thought I knew a lot about, but when I went on the tour, I learned so much that I didn't know it. And then also to have a chance to have things kind of woven together, like actually moving through the city and seeing how these things are so close or connected just by, you know, a street. It's a very powerful way to experience this.
Yes, it does sound that way. And I've heard from people who've taken it that they are changed, you know, after witnessing this.
Yes.
I know, Laura, that the festival is organic and inclusive and grows each day until you open. So that's fine, you know. It's almost like a living being, right? Because it really is.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. Besides the closing show of Precipice with Damaris, the festival also closes with We Are Still Here with Chisao Hata and Kenji Bunch at the Portland Assembly Center. Yes. Laura, what can we expect from this production?
I think this is also going to be a very transformative and memorable experience because it is first of all, the culmination of many years of exploration and healing that Chisao Hata has been carry on. And so it's incredible to see yet another piece of memory activism through art that we incubated in many ways throughout the years, manifesting in this beautiful way, but also at the moment where this story speaks very loudly and it's not a good story. So we have the Portland Assembly Center project, which is we are going to experience a preview of the Portland Assembly Center projects on May 31st. That is the day that usually closes the festival at the Expo Center and the historic Vanport. And it's a day of activation and reclaiming the space and the stories. So we'll experience a preview of an original reader's theater.
Yeah, yeah, reader's theater, yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of R's, yeah.
Yeah.
A little tongue twister there.
This exploration of sadly current piece of history will start on May 31st. That is usually the day of activation that closes the festival at the former Vanport sites and Expo Center. We are going to have exhibits, we're going to have tours and the usual beautiful offerings. But at 3:00, we also will experience a preview of the Portland Assembly Center projects by Chisao Hata that will then be part of this performance on June 1st at the Expo Center. And this is a collaboration with the Resonance Ensemble that started just last year, really, and it evolved into this incredible collaboration. And so that on June 1st at 3:00, we'll have this immersive site-specific performance in the very place where nearly 4,000 Japanese Americans were incarcerated. There will be music, there will be movement, there will be poems, there will be memories. And I think this is going to be a story that will really remind us that history is now. And every year we say this, and every year we say history is now, memory activism, remembering is resistance. And isn't that interesting that on our 10th anniversary, these words and this saying are really so relevant. And hopefully they are an inspiration and a call for all of us to gather around the stories and to really remember our shared humanity and that we do have the ability to tell the different stories.
Yeah, although history does want to seem like it still wants to repeat, you know, and in some ways it is, and that's how we learn. You know, we have to learn from history. Is that why it's so important for both of you to keep your commitment to the festival, to honor this history with art and community events?
I think there is that tension between the forgetting and the remembering. But I would even point out that the forgetting very often is intentional and the erasure is very much a choice. And we are seeing it right now. Literally, we are seeing erasure of archival material, erasure of communities' contributions. And so as stories and communities are forgotten, we intentionally remember. And we do it not just so that we honor these communities. But our survival truly depends on carrying these stories in us, embodying these stories. And if we do it, you know, if we really did it, we wouldn't be where we are right now.
I mean, I think what you were just pointing to is that we collectively have a certain amnesia, right? That we have forgotten such very recent events and to re-engage with not just numbers and dates, but the actual living histories that surround us. If you have that living with you, then you can't see the world as a blank slate, right? You can't see your neighbor as the other. You can't see your community as a commodity. If you have these stories living with you, it's just that simple.
Beautifully put. Laura, anything to add?
There's a lot of love. Otherwise, there would not be a reason to do this.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, it brings a lot of hope. And so in that sense, it's a very selfish endeavor for me. I need this.
Or self-fulfilling. Yeah. How about you, Damaris?
Well, and what I'm also just thinking about selfishly, the festival or any of the public-facing events give me this amazing opportunity to actually be in the same time space with such incredible makers, whatever their disciplines are, and then our community, right, of people coming to hear and witness, and then they carry on the work, right? So, and how lucky it is for me to have that opportunity to engage in so many different ways. So, I mean, I hope that everyone knows that they are welcome and that there are so many different pathways into these stories, you know, so many different disciplines. There's something for you there.
Beautiful. Well, you can check out all of the full schedule of offerings and events at Vanport Mosaics Festival at vanportmosaic.org. And I have that link at stageandstudio.org and orartswatch.org. Do you both have any last thoughts, shout outs that you want to give here?
This I would like to share. I'm bringing back our memory activism zine machine. It's a project that I really love that I collaborated with Lavinderia, Taylor Valdez, and it's truly a vending machine, but we reclaim it and now it distributes gifts of stories and memories, and that will move tomorrow to University of Oregon campus here in the Northeast. And that's another way to tell stories that, you know, it's innocent, doesn't look like a revolutionary, but then it's a way to actually really learn true and complex history. It's very fun. Yes.
Awesome. Well, as always, you know, kudos to you both, Laura Laforte and Damaris Webb. And congrats on 10 years of continued valuable programs for the Vanport Mosaic Festival. Happy anniversary to you both.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Around for everyone.
What is the cake?
Yeah, cake for everyone. There you go. That's it for Stage and Studio this week. You can always catch the show on stageandstudio.org and orartswatch.org, and I'll have the vanportmosaic.org link there too. Till the next conversation, I'm Dimelo Roberts.
Mwah. Mwah.
And we're out.